here on Soundscapes on BBC Radio Derby this Sunday afternoon, taking you through until 5 o'clock. And we're going to actually devote a fair portion of the time to Tranquility Base this week. Yet more evidence of the ever-growing stature of British electronic music. I've been speaking with the man behind this very impressive sound, David Hughes. He's a Newcastle lad and actually spoke to me down the line from his local BBC station, Radio Newcastle, and that line actually got its fair share of gremlin infestation. But that aside, it's a very interesting conversation with a musician who has credited me on his debut album for my infectious enthusiasm, and that is so true. There is something very infectious about the very upbeat melodicism of the sound of Tranquility Base. But as you'll hear, the album has many other fascinating facets. But we'll start with probably a very typical track from the album The Infection of Time. This is Stormfront, the music of Tranquility Base, here on Radio Derby's Soundscape. And what's the significance of the name for you?
Tranquility Base is the place where Apollo 11 landed, the site of the first moon landing. It was originally the title track of the album, but essentially we liked the name for the title track, and we didn't really want to call it something too spacey, so we just simply changed it, the spelling of base from B-A-S-E to B-A-S-S.
Ah, clever. You didn't want to use words like cosmic, then?
Absolutely not. No, we strongly advise not to use as album tracks that sounded very spacey. Originally, some of the tracks were like Astral and Spaceward, and which followed some sound advice from Paul Ward of Surreal to Real, said ditch those spacey titles, and we went ahead with that, and it seems to have done us some good.
Are you unhappy with just using the name David Hughes then?
Originally, there were other people in the band. There were certainly more than one of me, and I didn't particularly want front band as just David Hughes, partly because I wanted a name to hide behind in case we got such appalling reviews that hiding became necessary. Fortunately, that hasn't been the case, so maybe one day we'll drop the Tranquility Base. Maybe I'll just become David Hughes.
So, Tranquility Base is about, what, 250,000 miles away from us, and you say in the album sleeve notes that the music of Tranquility Base is, in all probability, 1,000,000 miles away from what you would expect. What you would expect from modern electronic instrumental music, I suppose. Why do you say that?
Really, the way I feel a lot of electronic music is going is towards the more improvisational style of things. There's also the sort of spacey type of cosmic music with a very simple laid-back feel. There's also new age music. I don't really have very much in common with that sort of sound. We wanted something which stuck more to the rock side of things, more your Mark Shreve kind of thing.
Well, it has to be said, it does remind me of the kind of approach that Mark Shreve employs, and there's a lot of good, hard, rocking melodies here. Having said that, we're now going to hear the track Mariner, which is perhaps slightly different from rest...
in that it doesn't have a strong melody, yes.
Well, slightly different from the rest of the album in that it's a much darker and perhaps more dramatic piece, and this has a particular inspiration, doesn't it?
Simply, we were listening to a couple of Vangelis soundtracks and the film 1492. The Vangelis soundtracks I'm also thinking of is Mutiny on the Bounty and 1492 and Blade Runner as well. And this piece of music originally wasn't going to make it to the album. However, we, after some to-ing and humming and ha-ing and to-ing and fro-ing, we decided that it was actually good enough for the album and suddenly turned out to be one of the more popular pieces on the album. I don't know why. It's not something that I would have chosen to be as immediately commercial or as immediately successful as some of the other tracks. So its success is sort of delighted me quite a bit, really.
Well, the track itself delights me. It got to me straight away, I've got to say. Yeah, so let's hear Mariner. Which you mentioned the inspiration there of Vangelis. Let's look at all your musical influences. Who would they be, David?
Well, originally I came very much from a sort of pop music background, and my own interest in electronic music stems from when I was maybe five years old, something like that, where I first started to hear things like the Doctor Who theme music. We were real Doctor Who fans in our house. Sort of an interest in music started to appear then, but it wasn't until I got into my teens that I really started to discover electronic music almost by accident. And it was when I went to university later on and graduated in electronics and physics that I really started to, when sort of music to pop music in the sort of early 80s, mid 80s started to fade away into less interesting for me music, then we started to move, look over for something a bit more deeper, which was at that time we moved into Tangerine Dream, Vangelis, Jean-Michel Jarre, and a few other less well-known bands. But our own sound essentially comes from very much the Ultravox sort of influence, mid to early 80s electro-synth. Really is where we come from.
So people like John Fox and Billy Curry.
Excellent, yes, that's really where we come from. I would disagree with the John Fox Metamatic phase, more the John Fox The Garden, Billy Curry in Ultravox, sort of albums like Lament by Ultravox, one of my favourite albums.
I must say there's a track which is a typical example of not only your melodic upbeat style, which I suppose harks back to Ultravox, but also the fun that you're out to get across. I'm referring to the track Ozone Park.
Yes.
It is a fun piece, isn't it?
It is a fun piece. It's another piece that I have to say special thanks to a friend, Chris Ainsworth, who really helped me out with that piece, because it was basically a simple two-idea piece, and Chris walked into the studio one day and I said, Chris, I am stuck. I can't get any further with this. It's a good tune so far. What can you do to help? And Chris walked up to the keyboard and played in the main riff, the chorus section, so as you would call it, and that made the song. From then on, I was able to just progress it, and it's sort of a happy, it's far more jolly sort of song than I thought I would originally set out to write. Originally, I was sort of writing moody, atmospheric stuff. Ozone Park turned out to be, its original name was Spacewood. We changed it simply because we were told to avoid spacey titles. And Ozone Park was something that just stuck in my head. I don't know where I heard it. I suspect driving one morning on a Saturday or something, going shopping. And it just stuck in my head and wouldn't go away. And that's where Ozone Park came from.
And you say it describes my kind of amusement park.
Essentially, yes. Life is all ups and downs, as I say. Well, it certainly was at the time. And I like amusement parks, sort of, roller coasters, and I felt very much at the time I was on a sort of roller coaster. And that's essentially where the song comes from. It's all fast and slow and dips and highs, and the solo says it all, really.
as very much as a fan of the music, did it actually reach a point where you thought, hey, I could do this?
Oh, yes, for a long time. When I left university, I more or less started I realised that it was possible to build a proper studio on your own. That came out as something unusual to happen at university. The university didn't have any kind of acoustic music facilities, and the music department itself weren't really interested in anything other than sort of avant-garde sort of music, which just has nothing for me at all. So I went along to a little night course that was being run by Spectral Arts Workshop. This was in a rundown area of Newcastle, and the course was basically run over a six-week period. And towards the end of the course, which it did basic introductory studio techniques, how to use a tape recorder, how to build a synth, how to use a synth, that sort of thing, we were introduced to a certain body, it will be well known to your listeners, Mr. Ian Body. And this in the days when he was barely established. I think he'd had one or two cassette releases, and he was about to release his first album on vinyl, which was The Climb. And we're talking a long time ago, this is before Ian actually had a beard, a long time ago. And he basically stood with a couple of synths and his, I think, sequencer, a few things, and some tape effects synced up. And he played this most gorgeous piece, and I thought, crikey, I can do this, you know. It really is possible. So I then set about building my own studio.
Tranquility Base by Tranquility Base. the band I've been showcasing here on Soundscapes, and I'll return to David Hughes later. And stand by to hear an absolute classic track called The Infection of Time, and that's the title of the album. Let's now return to film music and...